You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
This summer, the Whitney Museum of American Art is presenting the first major museum show to focus on Edward Hopper's drawings. The exhibition pairs some of the most famous paintings, including Nighthawks, New York Movie, and Office at Night, with preparatory studies and sketches that illuminate the artist's creative process. Hopper drawing is on view at the museum on Madison Avenue and 75th Street until October 6th, and I'm very pleased to welcome the show's curator, Carter E. Foster, back to our show today. Hello.
Hello. Thanks. Thank you for having me.
Now, why did you want to devote a whole show to Edward Hopper's drawings, and why now? Is he going through something of a reevaluation? There's also a major show at MoMA that features his work.
I think so, because there was a big show in Paris last year in spring that was extremely popular.
The French have discovered
Edward Hopper. They love him. He's loved in Europe in a way, I think for different reasons perhaps than he is here. The reason I felt like it was important to do is because I'm the curator of drawings at the Whitney, and over half our drawing collection is works by Edward Hopper. So when I got to the Whitney almost 9 years ago, I started looking at the collection and thought, you know, this is great material to mine for something.
So all of the drawings in the show are from the
collection? All but four. We borrowed four drawings, I believe. I'm correct in that. And everything else we own. Borrowed paintings as well, but yeah.
We'll talk about the borrowed paintings in a moment. Yeah. But how did you come to own so many of them? Did he donate them to the museum?
His widow did, technically. He had a special relationship with the Whitney. He showed there first in 1920 when it was still the Whitney Studio Club, and he had a long relationship with its curator and director, Lloyd Goodrich, who organized a couple of retrospectives.
Well, did he do these drawings with the idea of having them exhibited?
He did not. In fact, he disparaged his drawings often. It seems when he responded to questions about his drawings, he often said they weren't of interest. Others seemed to be more interested in them than he was, but he made many of them, and he did sign many of them too, implying that he, you know, finished them or felt they were finished works of art, although he rarely exhibited them in his lifetime, he did sometimes.
But he wanted to be known for his paintings.
He felt he was a painter, yes.
And your title downplays the scope of the show a bit. You have gotten some major paintings on loan from other collections, like the iconic Nighthawks from the Chicago Art Institute. When was the last time that painting was seen in New York?
Probably at the Whitney. It was actually in a show we did called Full House that was a celebration of our 75th anniversary. And that exhibition was kind of a trial run for what we did with Hopper Drawing. So,
well, what do his preliminary studies tell us about how he went about constructing a painting like Nighthawks?
That he was very methodical, that he looked at with great specificity at real places in New York in the case of that painting, and that he synthesized those specific observations into an imagined composition.
He did all sorts of variations of compositions before he arrived at the one that he was going to paint.
No, I mean, yes, he did not necessarily wild variations from what he ended up doing. He seemed to know what he wanted to explore pretty carefully, but you see him honing it in. It's a question of refinement, I would say.
But it's also interesting, some of these drawings seem to be more detailed than the paintings.
They are, and especially they focus in on details that are highly specific, like the coffee urns in Nighthawks, the cruet, the salt shaker in Nighthawks, which actually end up in the painting in an interesting way.
You also look at the models for some of these paintings. For example, isn't the diner in Nighthawks based on a building in the West Village around 7th Avenue and 11th Street?
Well, there's the diner's based on three spots on Greenwich Avenue where the numbered streets meet in wedge-shaped spaces, and then it's also based on the tip of the Flatiron Building. At least that's what my theory is, that those three very specific types of spaces, which Hopper walked along, we know from what he said, and then the Flatiron Building, which is very much like the diner in Nighthawks. So Hopper saw all those things and brought them together.
And you found photographs?
Photographs of a diner called Crawford Lunch that was on Greenwich Avenue, and Hopper stated that the Nighthawks was inspired by a restaurant on Greenwich Avenue, so we assume that's the one.
New York was as much his model as people.
Absolutely. He loved New York. He lived in Greenwich Village. He lived at the same studio and apartment on 3 Washington Square North for almost his entire life.
And had to fight eviction from NYU.
Apparently so. I know less about that incident, but apparently he did not like NYU, and his wife didn't either. But they were very nice in lending the easel that we got for the show.
Well, after that was resolved, they actually maintained his studio in a building nothing to do with art.
It's the School of Social Work, yes.
But where is he from originally? He's not from
Born in Nyack, just 20 minutes north of New York, a river town on the Hudson River, and grew up there and then started attending art school in 1899 in New York City. So he's a long, citizen of New York denizen of downtown, if you will.
And another one of his paintings that most people will recognize, Early Sunday Morning, which is included in the show, isn't that also based on a village street?
That's based on a specific building which we found in the course of our research. The original title of that painting was 7th Avenue Shops, so we looked out for old photographs of 7th Avenue and found this building between 15th and 16th Streets.
And that's the one that's displayed on his original easel?
That's correct, yes.
Why did you show it that way?
I wanted to show the painting unframed because it wasn't in an original frame, and I wanted to emphasize something about the directness of his creative process. And then I knew that this easel existed, so I had the idea to just put it on the easel. And it was the easel on which it was actually painted.
Now, he didn't set up the easel out in the street and
he
paint
did not.
That.
No,
he did the drawings, and then...
He did. There's one drawing associated with that painting, but he even stated that you couldn't really stand in the middle of the street and draw a building like that one. But we know that he walked by that building many times, or it's likely that he did. So he knew that building quite well by the time he painted it.
Two other paintings, Manhattan Bridge Loop and From Williamsburg Bridge,
yes,
document those two New York landmarks. Interestingly, he didn't choose Brooklyn Bridge. I guess he said, I'll let Joseph Stella do that.
Hopper's, he often picked the undersung or the less observed, or, you know, he was more interested in mundane things and transforming those through his own vision than picking something iconic.
Do you think he was always on the lookout for unusual architectural details on buildings?
I think it was looking for things through which he could get the effects that interested him, which were qualities of light and a certain mood and atmosphere. And so he that's what he was on the lookout for, which was not necessarily the Empire State Building, but something quite different.
My guest is Carter E. Foster, the curator of drawings at the Whitney Museum. This show that we're discussing, Hopper Drawing, will be on display until October 6th. And when will you be moving into the new building?
In 2015. Yes.
We just had Hugh Hardy here,
uh-huh.
And I didn't want to ask him on the air because I didn't want to embarrass you. I said, what do you think of the new Whitney? And he said, I like it a lot.
Oh, good. That's great to hear. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be fantastic. We're very excited.
And is there going to be a special space for drawings?
No, we're going to integrate media with other works. We feel very strongly that at the Whitney that we emphasize the artist's process, and that's closer to what the artists do, is to have an integrated approach to mediums.
So you'll be showing films as well?
The
reason I ask
absolutely.
Is because one of the paintings in the film, in the show, is New York Movie.
Right. One of my favorites, yeah.
And that has 52 preparatory studies.
There's actually 54 drawings on 52 sheets of paper, but we can only show 52 because two are on the backs of sheets. So, yes.
And you decided to include all of them?
Yes, because it's the one case where you can trace his process really more step-by-step than in other cases, because for some reason he was stuck when he was working on that painting and he made more drawings.
Well, the main action is on the sides of the painting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming that was considered rather daring at the time.
It's a daring composition. It really is.
So you think that he was trying to figure that out, how to make it work?
I think he was interested for whatever reason, and you can see this in the preparatory drawings, that he picked an interstitial space, a transition space between the main movie auditorium and the side aisle. And for whatever reason, he gravitated towards that. And it does work when he inserts the usherette into the composition, it makes perfect sense because it's like one is an amplification of the other. But it has this very daring, you know, void almost in the middle of the painting.
I'm guessing that the usherette was his wife.
She was the model for it, as she was after they got married. She modeled for many of his figures, but he always changed her features in the final painting. But you can often recognize her features in the drawings.
Well, there are a lot of drawings of nudes that don't seem to pop up in the paintings.
That's right, and he had an interesting period of 5 years where he went to the Whitney Studio Club and drew the nude model in life class and made some over 600 drawings, and that was like this self-imposed masterclass in the nude. And then he doesn't go back to doing it that we know of. So he sort of made himself learn the body really well, as it were, when he was already a mature artist.
Was New York Movie based on a particular New York Movie Theater?
It was based on the Palace Theater for the most part, which is still there. It's a Broadway house. It was a movie house then, and the interior has been changed to a degree. But through old photographs, we were able to find a lot of what Hopper actually saw when he was making the drawings for the painting.
That's where there was an awful lot of vaudeville at the Palace.
Yes, that's right. It started out as a vaudeville house, but a lot of those houses were converted into movie theaters around, you know, in the starting in the 20s with the rise of the popularity of film.
Was he an avid moviegoer?
He was. He loved movies and he loved theater. And there's we know, you know, what he went to see in many cases.
Well, I wonder if there isn't a voyeuristic aspect to seeing movies and to the way Hopper looks at the world.
Absolutely. I think he's someone who created this voyeurism almost as a subject matter, is one of the great things he did. And the fact that he loved movies is not surprising, because movies are, in a sense, capturing the world in that way. And he was able to compose in a way that was analogous to the cinematic shot, which seems to have been just instinctive to him.
Well, I'm thinking of two paintings of office scenes, Office at Night and Conference at Night, where they seem to be from the point of view of someone who's peering in a window, almost like a peeping Tom.
Absolutely. Especially Office at Night, very strange perspective. It's like I always say you're like an insect hovering in the air looking down. But he said that he was inspired by rides on elevated trains in New York and the glimpses into office interiors from that. So he was actually set up by the spaces of the city itself to do that subject.
There is a 1914 painting called Soirbleu, mm-hmm. Which is a Paris cafe scene. And you have a lot of sheets of his Paris sketchbooks. Did he change his style at all when he was painting?
He did that. That is an interesting aspect of his early style. He never really goes back to that kind of post-impressionist moment, but he was very influenced by France and French culture, and he made extensive suites of drawings when he was when he visited Paris and was sitting in cafes and parks. And so you see that style early, but then he shifts to a different medium. He starts to favor black chalk much later. These are all quick pen and ink sketches.
Pen and ink, and then black chalk, pencil or charcoal.
He does graphite sometimes. Graphite pencil. Charcoal, yes, but mostly it's what we call fabricated black chalk, which is just a general term for dry black medium where chalk's been combined with clay and other things with binders. Yeah.
What do you think that, or what do you hope that people will take away from this show? Would you like it to influence the way people look at his work?
I would like for people to understand that he was a great draftsman, just on those terms, but also a great tinker of his works and someone who thought very deliberately about what he was trying to put to canvas, and that he was technically very gifted and in command as both a painter and a draftsman, which I think sometimes people think his awkward figures are not intentional. I think Hopper was very intentional. When he was trying to create an awkward figure, it was because he wanted to say something with that awkwardness. And I think sometimes people mistake that for lack of technical ability, which I think is wrong.
Would you describe him as a quintessentially American painter or more a quintessentially New York painter?
I think he's an American painter, but I mean, he's definitely tied to the places where he lived. He also had a house on Cape Cod and was inspired by scenes of New England. But I would say New York was deeply important, and the urban situation was deeply important for his work, yes.
I was wondering if you're doing the show now partly because of the new building, which is being built downtown. This is a show that kind of
emphasizes
the glories of downtown.
It wasn't planned that way, but it's ended up sort of being a nice confluence of things, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it was especially great to find some of these places that he saw and looked at downtown, which we didn't know before, and realize how close his ties were to downtown.
Now, this show is going to be at the Whitney until October 6th. Will it travel after
that? It's going to the Dallas Museum of Art in the winter, and then in the fall, in the spring, to the Walker Art Museum in the Walker Art Center in Minneapolis.
Because Walker lent you
They own Office at Night, one of his greatest paintings, absolutely. So that's why we approach them.
We have a slideshow of some of the work on our show page at WNYC.org. I just am amazed by the volume of work here.
It's a large show. I mean, it was something I was actually worried about when we were installing it. But with drawings, you can show them in density in a way. And I think people like to see them in suites and sort of as a series. And so we set up the paintings in the right way.
Well, we've been seeing more and more exhibits of the of drawings that reveal what masters are thinking about while they're creating
the
work.
I think there's a great interest in that, yeah. I think people love to see sort of
process.
Behind the scenes. Process is really interesting. And process, the process of art has become a subject of art in the sort of since post-minimalism. But I think, so with that, there's been a look back at, how artists made things. And an interesting considering what may not have been considered art before.
It also allows you to give the paintings more space when you exhibit this way. Carter E. Foster is the Stephen and Ann Ames Curator of Drawing at the Whitney Museum of American Art. The show we've been talking about is Harper Drawings. It's got a fabulous catalog as well, published by Yale University Press in conjunction with the Whitney Museum.
That's right.
And it will be on view at the Whitney until October 6th. After that, you're going to have to go to Dallas or what is it?
Minneapolis. The Walker, yes.
See it at the Whitney on 75th and Madison. And thank you so much for being with us again.
Thanks so much for having me.